Today, we'll read from Canto 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 11, Text Number 46. It's been marked at 43, 45. It's a typo there. So it's actually Text 46 that we are reading. Because yesterday, Narasimha Kavach Prabhu already covered Text 43 and 45. But whatever verse is written is correct.
धिष्णेषु इति येषु मद्रूपम् शङ्खचक्रगदाम्बुजे युक्तम् चतुर्भुजम् शान्तम् ध्यायानर्चेत् समाहिता धिष्णेषु इति येषु मद्रूपम् शङ्खचक्रगदाम्बुजे युक्तम् चतुर्भुजम् शान्तम् ध्यायानर्चेत् समाहिता धिष्णेष्व इति येषु मद्रूपम् शङ्खचक्रगदाम्बुजे युक्तम् चतुर्भुजम् शान्तम् ध्यायानर्चेत् समाहिता
धिष्णेषु. In the previously mentioned places of worship, iti, thus by the previously mentioned processes, eshu, in them, mat rupam, my transcendental form, shankha, with the conch shell, chakra, sudarshana disc, gada, club, ambuje, and lotus flower, yuktam, equipped, chaturbhujam, with four arms, santam, peaceful, dhyayan, meditating, archet, one should worship, samahitah, with complete attention. Translation. Thus, in the previously mentioned places of worship, and according to the processes I have described, one should meditate on my peaceful transcendental form with four arms holding a conch shell, sudarshan disc, club and lotus flower. In this way, one should worship me with fixed attention. Thus, in the previously mentioned places of worship and according to the processes I have described, one should meditate on my peaceful transcendental form with four arms holding a conch shell, sudarshana disc, club and lotus flower. In this way, one should worship me with fixed attention. Purport. The Lord has previously explained that He appears in different transcendental forms to His pure devotees so that they may unlimitedly increase their love of Godhead. Here is given a general description of the four-armed Narayana form, which pervades the material world as super soul or paramatma. The pure devotees, however, do not meditate upon the Lord within the heart, but rather render active service to a specific form of the Lord, such as Ram or Krishna, and thus perfect their realization of Bhagavan, or the Supreme Lord, who engages in transcendental pastimes with His devotees in the spiritual world. Yet, even within the material world, one can spiritualize one's existence by seeing the Supreme Lord within everything and worshipping Him by constant meditation. As mentioned in the previous verses, one should also go to the temple. And specifically worship the deity and participate in spiritual festivals. One should not be puffed up and claim that because one is meditating on the Lord within nature, there is no need to go to a temple. This is the punchline actually of the purport. One should not be puffed up and claim that because one is meditating on the Lord within nature, there is no need to go to the temple. Temple worship has been repeatedly emphasized by the Lord Himself. Temple worship has been repeatedly emphasized by the Lord Himself. The word samahita in this verse indicates samadhi. If one very carefully worships the deity, if one very carefully worships the deity or hears and chants about the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one is certainly in samadhi. I repeat, if one very carefully worships the deity or hears and chants about the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one is certainly in samadhi. By worshipping and glorifying the Lord 24 hours a day, one becomes a liberated soul and gradually rises completely beyond the influence of the material creation. The word gradually is very important here. By worshipping and glorifying the Lord 24 hours a day, one becomes a liberated soul and gradually rises completely beyond the influence of the material creation. The living entity is called Atma or eternal soul because of his relationship with Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By worshipping the Lord, our eternal nature revives. And as we increase our enthusiasm and steadiness in devotional service, material existence fades away. By worshipping the Lord, our eternal nature revives. And as we increase our enthusiasm and steadiness in devotional service, material existence fades away.
ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण स्कूल डजंट लीव मी एट ऑल इन द रॉन्ग टाइम इट विल हैपन So, in this particular verse, Lord Krishna is personally instructing Uddhava. That's what is happening in the current chapter. And the Lord is mentioning various types of worship. And in this specific verse, the Lord is talking about temple worship or deity worship. The Lord is emphasizing to Uddhava that because, and Srila Prabhupada is writing that, that just because we believe or we know that God is omnipresent, which means He is present everywhere. So some people, when we invite them to the temple, they'll say, Bhagwan to sab jagah hai in Hindi, which means in English, they say, God is everywhere, so therefore I'm not coming to the temple. God is within the heart, so let us worship the Paramatma within the heart. The reason is that they are not worshipping the Paramatma within the heart. The reason is they don't have time to come to the temple. That is the problem. But people will give all this half-cooked logic to cover up their laziness, that their mind does not disturb them with guilt. So therefore they will put all these objections. So here it's very clearly mentioned that this is not acceptable. That one has to come to the temple and worship the deity form of the Lord. So in this verse, the process of becoming purified from the propensity to enjoy that is given here. And that is possible by the process of deity worship. So by deity worship, one gradually progresses. Now, as I mentioned in the purport, the word gradual is very, very important. Deity worship is the way by which one can gradually progress. So what does this gradually mean in this verse? So let us elaborate and understand why deity worship is mentioned as a gradual process of improvement. So, that there are two definitions which we need to understand very clearly. One is archana and one is bhajana. Archana versus bhajan. So it is mentioned that archana is defined as a formal and a regulated offering of respect and service to the Lord. A formal and regulated offering of respect and service to the Lord. That is called as archana. So, and bhajana is different. In archana, basically the conditioned soul has a propensity to enjoy. So, because the conditioned soul has got a propensity to enjoy, the conditioned soul does not have a propensity to automatically or spontaneously worship the deity form of the Lord because of the propensity to enjoy. So therefore, we need a formal set of rules and regulations in the initial stages of bhakti. And in the process of archana, one offers respect and regulated service to Lord Krishna in a very formal manner at the initial stages. So that process is called as archana. Bhajan, on the other hand, is completely different. Bhajana is a process which is adopted when a devotee has taken complete shelter of the Lord and spontaneous love has occurred within the heart. And he is reciprocating, the devotee is reciprocating with the Lord and the Lord is reciprocating with the devotee all the time. So spontaneously there is love. So there is no need to formally induce any worship. For example, when we go to work, we have to, you know, formally respect our boss, whether we like or we don't like him. Good morning, sir. How is it going? How was your weekend? We don't care how was his weekend. But because we want to be on the job, we have to respect formally. Whereas, at our homes, we don't every day get up in the morning and say, good morning, dad, good morning, mom, good morning, younger brother. Why? Because that love is there automatically. Because we automatically wish good morning and we like to see the face of our parents and our children. Whereas, no, there has to be a formal process. So, in the initial stages of bhakti, people, because of this philosophy that God is inside and you know, God is everywhere, therefore, people don't have an appreciation for the Lord's form in the temple. So therefore a formal process is required till the spontaneity comes about. So therefore for a sadhaka, this process of archana or deity worship is very important. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he has given five basic reasons why this archana paddhati or deity worship is very important. So today we will go through all these five reasons why deity worship is very important. The first reason which he mentions is deity worship is important because all acharyas have said so. So in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami writes, Sangat Tyagat Satovritte Sadbhir Bhakti Prasidyati. Satovritte means following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So what are the previous acharyas have said? We follow. In fact, if you read Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami has given 64 items of worship, and out of the 64 items, 35 of those items are directly connected with deity worship. So that is the importance. More than 50% is deity worship in the 64 processes. And further, Srila Sanatan Goswami has expanded on what Srila Rupa Goswami has mentioned in the 64 verses. He has expanded those specific 35 in a book called as Hari Bhakti Vilasa. So Hari Bhakti Vilasa is one of the important scriptures for us. And there it gives great details about Archana Paddhati or the fine aspects of deity worship. So when Srila Prabhupada introduced deity worship in ISKCON, there was a lot of criticism. The criticism was that in ISKCON temples there is no bell, because in India traditionally the procedure of going to a temple is that you go to a temple, you ring one bell and then you go inside and the pujari will offer you a 10 rupees archana plate.
and then he'll keep a crown on your head and he'll give you one banana after that. And then we will come out thinking that, you know, we are very pious and we are purified. So people, when they saw this kind of a temple where, you know, the more emphasis is on Harinam Sankirtan, then there was a criticism that there is no bell enough. No, there is not enough of bell ringing in your temple. So then Srila Prabhupada said, our bell is this tongue by which we vibrate the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is our main bell. And loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra or Sankirtan is the main activity in our temple. And Srila Prabhupada later on told his disciples that nowadays Hindu temples have become bell ringing temples. Because this bell attracts one from childhood. I remember whenever I used to go to a temple, the first thing I wanted to do was I used to ring the bell. So my father used to pick me up and tang tang, I used to ring the bell. So that is a spontaneous attraction from the childhood. But when it came to deity, I was not interested much. And that habit continued even as we grow old. Now the focus is more on the bell. So therefore, the first reason why deity worship is very important or temple worship is important is because Satovritte, because the acharyas have recommended this as a part of Archana Paddhati in Nectar of Devotion as well as Hari Bhakti Vilasa. That is first reason. The second reason why deity worship is very important is because in the initial stages of Bhakti, Srila Prabhupada says in Ishopanishad there are three levels of devotee: Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari. Kanishta Adhikari is called as third class devotee, Madhyam Adhikari is called as second class devotee and Uttam Adhikari is called as first class devotee. So Kanishta Adhikari is a person who is, you know, very new to Krishna consciousness. In the initial years of Krishna consciousness, that is Kanishta Adhikari. Of course, with time, necessarily one doesn't migrate from Kanishta to the Madhyama platform. That happens because of sadhana and not because of time. By time, we may become senior devotee, but we may not become pure devotee. So Kanishta Adhikari, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he mentioned that this archa, or this deity form of the Lord, is the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna on the Kanishta Adhikari. I think Mahatma Prabhu needs a chair. Maybe, yeah. Move forward. So the second reason for deity worship is that deity worship is the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna on the Kanishta Adhikari or the third class devotee. That is, there is a reason behind that statement. It is said that Kanishta Adhikari or a new devotee, when a person starts new in Krishna consciousness, he is ignorant of the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't really know who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because the first characteristic of the third class devotee is that he thinks that he is himself very powerful and special. And the third class devotee or the Kanishta Adhikari is obsessed with his own qualifications, his own talents, his own skills, etc. And whatever activities the Kanishta Adhikari does, it is largely self-centered. Krishna is not in the center. I am in the center. Like that. That is the Kanishta Adhikari. Therefore, because of ignorance of the Lord's glories, the Kanishta Adhikari is unable to appreciate and worship the Lord spontaneously. It is said that great devotees see God everywhere. That is the characteristic of a Uttam Adhikari or a first class devotee. So, when Srila Prabhupada was once in United States and Srila Prabhupada saw a rat cart, the deities were not mounted on the rat cart as yet. It was only a plain rat cart. So immediately as Srila Prabhupada saw the rat cart, he offered dandavats spontaneously to the rat cart. And Srila Prabhupada's entire kurta was very soiled with dirt. So the devotee said that Lord Jagannath has not yet been mounted, and why Prabhupada you are offering? So Srila Prabhupada told them that the paraphernalia of the Lord is non-different from the Lord. The paraphernalia of the Lord are personal expansions of Lord Balram, or Lord Nityananda expands as the paraphernalia of the Lord. So whenever I see the Rath cart, I am spontaneously reminded of Lord Jagannath. So therefore the Rath cart is non-different than Lord Jagannath. So this is the characteristic of an Uttam Adhikari who can see the Lord everywhere, whether in the deity form or whether in the paraphernalia form. So the cart is non-different than the Lord. But a Kanishtha Adhikari or a third class devotee or a new devotee is not aware of this kind of an omnipresence of the Lord. So he needs a specific method to worship and offer respect to the Lord in a particular way and at a specific location. Therefore, importance of temple and deity worship. That is the first characteristic of Kanishtha Adhikari, that he is ignorant of the omnipresence or the power of the Supreme Lord in this sense. Number two is, the Kanishtha Adhikari is uninterested, is not interested in the Lord's paraphernalia, his entourage, and neither the devotees. So many times we see that, you know, devotees will just come inside, they will not go this side to Srila Prabhupada. They will directly come from the entrance, they will go here, they will just, you know, tell the Lord something from the walk. There may be a lecture going on, there may be a Srimad Bhagavatam class going on, they are totally, you know, they are just not interested. By default, they think that, oh, no, this is not for me, it is for some other people that something is going on. Okay. So therefore, they are neither interested in the devotees, nor they are interested in hearing about the Lord, nor they are interested in Srila Prabhupada. They want to have direct contact with Lord Krishna. So they will come there. Sometimes people will not even go there, I observed. People will not go to Gaur Nithai and Lord Jagannath. They will say, what is this black form? You know, I only know Murliwala, you know, the flute person. So therefore, they will only pay obeisances this side and then go out immediately from there. So this is the problem. So the Kanishtha Adhikari is not interested in the Lord's paraphernalia, entourage and devotees, and does not know how to respect devotees and how to deal with them. Therefore, a Kanishtha Adhikari engages in disrespectful dealings with the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada said that in the neophyte stage, any prolonged dealings with the devotees will always lead to some kind of a conflict or the other. So in the initial stages of Krishna consciousness, it's not very surprising that one devotee does not get along with another devotee. And if any of us are suffering from this problem, then we know that we are still in the Kanishtha platform. At least I suffer from that problem. So Srila Prabhupada said, neophyte means always fight. That is a characteristic of neophyte devotee. So in Satya Yuga, the mode of goodness was the predominant mode in Satya Yuga days. And all the dealings were very perfect. As Treta Yuga manifested, Treta Yuga ushered in the influence of negative qualities in men. So the sages at that time could see lot of disrespectful dealings day in and day out. So they saw a need for a formal process that would purify such people. The Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari, the basic essential difference between these three types of devotees is how much one is influenced by false ego. Kanishtha Adhikari, influence of false ego is very high. And Uttam Adhikari, influence of false ego is nil, zero. And Madhyam Adhikari is somewhere in between, like that. So, because of this, if one Kanishtha Adhikari with false ego deals with another Kanishtha Adhikari with false ego, then there is always conflict which happens at the same level. Therefore, the Kanishtha Adhikari has to be purified. He should have a process by which he can go through the purification process without much of infringement on his false ego. So Kanishtha Adhikari needs that kind of a process. So therefore, deity worship. Because deity, normally Kanishtha Adhikari will not fight with the deities. Kanishtha Adhikari will fight with other devotees. So till the time that the Kanishtha Adhikari appreciates other devotees, the process of deity worship is important. Therefore, in the initial stages of devotional life, one is more comfortable dealing with the deity rather than with the devotees. That is a typical characteristic. So gradual purification is required so that the consciousness of the Kanishtha Adhikari gradually improves. In fact, an example from the life of Srila Prabhupada here. When Srila Prabhupada built, when the Mayapur temple was initially being constructed, then Srila Prabhupada's instructions was that the devotee quarter should be constructed first, which is the lotus building. That should be constructed first. So Srila Prabhupada was asked, why you are building devotee quarters first? Srila Prabhupada said that when devotees come and stay and perform nice kirtan, then the Lord will manifest in that place after that. And this was Srila Prabhupada's vision. In fact, Srila Prabhupada had a friend. It was a love-hate relationship which this person had with Srila Prabhupada. His name was Dr. Patel from Mumbai. So, Dr. Patel always used to object many things which Srila Prabhupada used to do. So, Dr. Patel one day objected with regard to the Juhu temple. In the Juhu temple, the quarters is at a higher level and the temple is at ground level. So, Dr. Patel objected that how devotee quarters is at a higher level and temple is at a lower level. So, Srila Prabhupada said, quoted the Shastras, he said, Mad Bhakta Pujya Vadika. He said, the devotees are more worshipable than the Lord. In that sense, of course, that's a very high philosophy. Okay. In the initial stages, it's very difficult to understand. But the devotee actually of the Lord is more worshipable. This is what Lord Shiva is also telling Parvati in the Padma Purana. Lord Shiva says, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnor Aradhanam Param. Tasmat Parataram Devim Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. What is the meaning of Tadiya? Tadiya means that which is in connection with the Lord. Everything which is in connection with the Lord is called as Tadiya. So therefore, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnor Aradhanam Param. Out of all the worship, Aradhana Sarvesham. Out of all these worships, Vishnor Aradhanam is Param. The worship of Lord Vishnu is supreme. But higher than that is Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Higher than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of everything which is connected with Lord Vishnu. Which means his paraphernalia, devotees and so on and so forth. That is even higher. So Srila Prabhupada exactly knew this mode. So he was explaining this to Dr. Patel. So the neophyte devotee does not understand this principle. Therefore he only wants to associate with the Lord. And a devotee does not have a very good understanding that the Lord is complete. In the sense, the Lord is never alone. He is always with his devotees. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, very first canto, it is mentioned that the Lord is never alone. The Lord is always accompanied by his energies. That is the complete definition of the Absolute Truth. Supreme Personality of Godhead, accompanied by his energies. Never alone. So there is another interesting example here from Srila Prabhupada's life. There was once a devotee painter and he had done one painting. Now, in the painting, Lord Krishna was sitting like this with the hand on his head. Okay. So when Srila Prabhupada, he showed this painting to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, What is this painting? I have never seen this kind of a painting of Lord Krishna. So the devotee told Srila Prabhupada that Lord Krishna is in separation, Vipralamba, from the gopis. Therefore he is keeping his hand on his head like this. Because he is in separation. Srila Prabhupada said, who gave you such an idea about Lord Krishna that he will sit with his hand on his head, in separation from the gopis? He said, Lord Krishna in one sense is never separated from the gopis. He is never alone. Okay. But still, Srila Prabhupada said, wanted to encourage this particular devotee. So he said, okay, you don't name this particular painting as Lord Krishna is in separation from the devotees. You name this as Lord Krishna has a headache. Because there is another pastime of Lord Krishna having a headache. So, Srila Prabhupada mentioned to him after that Lord Krishna is never alone. You can never draw a painting of Lord Krishna alone. He is always with his cows or peacocks or somebody has to be there along with Lord Krishna. Never alone. Some associates have to be there. So, therefore, Lord Krishna means Lord Krishna along with the devotees and paraphernalia. The Kanishtha Adhikari does not understand this. He understands only Lord Krishna. Therefore, deity worship. There is another example from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the life of Srila Ramananda Rai and Maharaj Prataparudra. Now, Srila Ramananda Rai was the governor and he was the governor under the jurisdiction of Maharaj Prataparudra. So, Maharaj Prataparudra was his boss in that sense, at work. So, when Maharaj Prataparudra, the king of Orissa, he wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he wanted the mercy, darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. I am not going to meet him. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. And he said, I don't want to meet with worldly minded persons. Because a king is generally a very worldly minded materialistic person. He is interested in power, opulence, money, etc. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the renounced order. So a person in the renounced order is not interested in meeting materialistic people. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to set the standards of sannyas. So when Ramananda Rai, who was a devotee of, who was the most intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that, my dear Lord, why don't you give your mercy to Maharaj Pratap Rudra? Maharaj Pratap, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, he is a king and I don't have any business to do with kings. But then, Srila Ramanand Rai, he told a very interesting thing. He told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I always had a desire to resign from my job and to take to devotional life full time and serve you. And when I evinced this desire to Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Maharaj Pratap Rudra immediately told me, go ahead, I'll give you full pension. Don't worry about money at all. Pension will come to your house, salary will come to your house. Go ahead and worship. I wish my boss tells that one day. My boss will not tell like that, unfortunately. No, but anyway, I'm not as pure as Maharaj Pratap Rudra. But all of us have this desire. I've spoken to many devotees and they just want to say that I want to just quit this corporate life and, you know, go back. But because of money, I'm working every day. Monday, I have to go and look at my boss's face. This is the problem with many devotees. Okay. So, when Ramanand Rai told this to Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Maharaj Pratap Rudra immediately gave him full salary, full pension, everything. By this, Srila Ramanand Rai was able to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this from Ramanand Rai, he said a very interesting verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu kohe tumi bhakti Krishna bhakta pradhan, toma keye priti kore se bhagyavan. So Mahaprabhu said, ordinarily I wouldn't meet with worldly minded people, but because he is so merciful to you, he recognized, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is fine. But because he gives more respect and love to the devotee of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, therefore, toma keye priti kore sei bhagyavan. That means, he is very fortunate to have this kind of consciousness. Because you are a great devotee of Krishna, whoever is affectionate to you is very fortunate person. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. And then, Mahaprabhu adds, तोमारे ये एता प्रीति होइला राजार ए गुण कृष्ण तारे अवश्य कोरिबे अंगीकार. Which means that because he has so much affection for you, who is my devotee, he is telling Ramanand Rai that because Maharaj Pratap Rudra has got so much affection for you and you are my devotee, therefore Krishna avashya koribe angikar. That means Lord Krishna will definitely bestow his mercy on him. Krishna will shower mercy on him without fail. Avashya koribe angikar. So therefore, by having loving relationship with devotees, then Lord Krishna comes free. Highly advanced consciousness of Maharaj Pratap Rudra is seen here. In fact, in normal corporate life, bosses always have an inflated ego. Almost always. There are bosses who are very, you know, who are very humble, but invariably nowadays, you know, in an atmosphere which is surcharged with the mode of passion, then always, you know, this ego is there, that I am boss and you are subordinate. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra knew very well that Ramanand Rai is my subordinate in office. And he also knew very well that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shares his most intimate things with Ramanand Rai and not with me. Though I am the boss and he is the subordinate. Also further, he knew that Lord Chaitanya consults Ramanand Rai on devotional matters. The Lord is consulting the devotee on devotional matters. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Ramanand Rai, you tell me about what is bhakti, like that. In spite of all that, an ordinary king, what he would have done? He would have got immediately envious. And he would have used this position to scuttle the relationship between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramanand Rai. He would have told Ramanand Rai, okay, enough is enough now. Just be here and do your governor job, otherwise I'll throw you out from here. He could have told like that. But Maharaj Pratap Rudra was completely non-envious. He had the control over his subordinate, but he did not exercise that control despite the fact that he could have. And that is the quality of non-enviousness which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really appreciated in Maharaj Pratap Rudra and therefore agreed to then give him his mercy. So, the Kanishta Adhikari, unfortunately, does not have this kind of an understanding that the Lord's devotees are higher than the Lord. They don't understand the Lord's mood. Therefore, the Kanishta Adhikari needs the process, initial stages of directly coming and worshipping the deity form of the Lord. That is the second reason why it is important. It is mentioned that a Kanishta Adhikari does not have this appreciation. Therefore, he needs to focus on the Lord's deity form, which is one out of the five forms of the Lord. The Lord has got five forms. The first form of the Lord is called as Para. Para refers to the Lord who is in the spiritual world. That is called as para. The second form of the Lord is called as Vyuha. Vyuha refers to the Chaturvyuha avataras, which is the Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Anirudh, Pradyumna, the expansions of the Lord. So para and Vyuha. The third incarnation of the Lord, form of the Lord, is called as Vaibhav. Vaibhav form of the Lord refers to the appearance of the Lord in different yugas for the purpose of performing pastimes. So para, Vyuha, Vaibhav. The fourth form of the Lord is called as Antaryami or Paramatma, which is the super soul of which is present inside the heart. That is the fourth manifestation of the Lord. And the fifth manifestation of the Lord is called as Archa or the deity. And it is mentioned that a Kanishta Adhikari or a new devotee, a neophyte devotee, does not have access to the first four forms, which is Para, Vyuha, Vaibhav and Antaryami. He does not have access to these. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead condenses all these four forms into the Archa Vigraha form. So that the Kanishta Adhikari gets, the neophyte devotee gets the benefit of worshipping all the five forms of the Lord simultaneously, simply by worshipping the deity form of the Lord. Therefore, it is said that this deity form or the Archa form is the causeless mercy on the Kanishta Adhikari. And therefore, this deity worship is very important. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur further mentions that after worshipping the deity for a long period of time, gradually appreciation for the devotees of the Lord arises in the mind of the neophyte devotee. And gradually the neophyte devotee's relationship with the devotees improves, and then the Kanishta Adhikari then comes to the platform of a good relationship, and then he gradually comes to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari by the process of preaching. So once we develop friendly association with the devotees, and once we understand the importance of devotees in our devotional life, then we can start the process of preaching. We can take up the service of preaching. And by the process of preaching, then the Kanishta Adhikari goes to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. Otherwise, in the initial stages, when the person is on the Kanishta platform, then one tries to preach, then the one Kanishta is dealing with another Kanishta. So the person who is preaching will invariably land in conflicts with the person to whom one is preaching to. And therefore, there is no preaching after that. There will be only Kurukshetra there. There will be no preaching. So, Srila Prabhupada said that the Archa Vigraha form is so merciful that the Archa Vigraha form or the deity offers mercy to all alike. Doesn't differentiate. The deity does not differentiate between Kanishta, Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari. So when Srila Prabhupada was told that why are you worshipping Lord Jagannath outside of Puri, Srila Prabhupada said he is Lord Jagannath, not Oriyanath. So he can be worshipped outside of Orissa also. So no one can stop the deity worship of the Lord, because the Lord is meant for everyone. So his presence is meant for purification of the whole world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave a chance for the deity to come out even in the United States and virtually every country in the world now. Because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Lord Jagannath comes out once in a year and gives darshan to all the devotees. Now the Kanishta Adhikari also, there is one more aspect. The Kanishta Adhikari, how he cannot appreciate the devotees. So there is one example. Now this appreciation for devotees is sometimes even becomes difficult even after a few years of devotional life. There is one interesting example given of a devotee called Suvigyan Acharya, who was actually not a Kanishta Adhikari in one sense, but was in Krishna consciousness for many years. Actually he was almost coming to the stage of an Uttama Adhikari. So Suvigyan Acharya, he lived his life by begging in Vrindavan, by begging Madhukari in Vrindavan. So one day when he went to beg, he didn't get much Madhukari. But as he was walking, he saw one Brajavasi, one resident of Vrindavan. This resident of Vrindavan was eating a roti. And he had only one roti. And he had just put that roti inside his mouth. So when Suvigyan Acharya approached him for Madhukari, immediately the Brajavasi took out the roti from his mouth and gave it to, before he could swallow, he took out the roti from his mouth and gave it spontaneously to Suvigyan Acharya. And Suvigyan Acharya was very shocked by this. What is this he is doing? He is removing, he is giving his jhuta to me. Which means he has already put in his mouth and he is giving. It's contaminated. So he started chastising that devotee. As he started thinking like that and chastising the devotee, Lord Krishna personally appeared there.
And he told Suvigyan Acharya that this is Vrajavasi, this is not ordinary person. He is a resident of Vrindavan. So it is not Jhuta, whether it is a remnant. So these Vrajavasis are very exalted personalities. So don't consider them to be ordinary people.
So possible to appreciate these Vrajavasis in our through our mundane consciousness. So one, unless one is highly advanced and purified, it is not possible for a devotee to understand the relative positions of other devotees and the various categories of devotees. So therefore, Archa Vigraha is the causeless mercy on the Nishtha. That is reason number two. Reason number one is because Acharyas have said so. Reason number two is because of causeless mercy on Kanishtha Adhikari. Reason number three for a deity worship. That is, the conditioned soul has a tendency to enjoy. And deity worship helps the conditioned soul gradually changing the vision from the desire to enjoy oneself and changes that, reorients, channelizes that desire to the Lord's pleasure. So instead of my pleasure, now I work for the pleasure of the Lord. And the deity worship helps in developing a preferential mood towards the Lord. That is very important. In the initial stages of devotional life, we are not authorized to worship Lord Krishna and Radharani at all. Lord Krishna and Radharani actually cannot be worshipped with Vaidhi Bhakti. Because that worship requires one to be in spontaneous mood. However, because we are conditioned and we cannot worship spontaneously, therefore we still worship the deities of Shri Shri Radha and Krishna, but in a reverential mood and not in a Raganuga Bhava or in a spontaneous mood. So that reverential mood is very important in the initial stages of devotional life, and that is why deity worship is important. And there are few examples here. So the conditioned soul, as I mentioned earlier, whatever the conditioned soul sees, he wants to enjoy himself, for himself. It is mentioned in Brahma Samhita that in order to serve the Lord, in order to see the Lord, Radha and Krishna, one's eyes should be tinted with the ointment of love. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. But in the initial stages, we have kamanjana churita bhukti vilochana, which means kam. Instead of prem, there is kam. There is lust instead of love. And instead of prem, there is, instead of bhakti, there is bhukti. Bhukti means the desire to enjoy. So right now the Kanishtha Adhikari, when he enters the temple, he may not know how powerful Krishna is. So it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, again in the 11th canto as we go ahead. Right now we are in 11th chapter. The 27th chapter of the 11th canto, in text number 15, it is mentioned, Dravyay prasidhyair madhyaga pratimadishu amaniya bhaktasya cha yatha labdher hridi bhavena chaivahi. That is mentioned in 27th chapter of the same canto, text 15. So the Lord here is saying that in the initial stages of devotion, dravyay prasidhyair madhyaga. Dravyay prasidhyair means what? That the paraphernalia which is there, that must be prasidhyair. One must worship me with elaborate paraphernalia, excellent paraphernalia in the initial stages of devotional life. But he adds later that pratimadishu amaniya. When one develops amanitvam, amanitvam means that there is no desire for sense gratification. When you cross the initial stages of devotion, in the initial stages you must worship with elaborate paraphernalia. But when one gradually comes to the platform of amanitvam, no material desire, then bhaktasya cha yatha labdhair hridi bhavena chaivahi. At that stage, at a high stage, then the devotee has whatever is available to the Lord. There is no need for elaborate paraphernalia. In fact, hridi bhavena chaivahi, the devotee can even offer mentally everything to the Lord. Because sometimes pure devotees don't have any money even to buy one ghee lamp for the Lord. So at that stage, one can simply do manasa puja or mental service. So this is very important, but not in the initial stages. Lord should be worshipped with elaborate paraphernalia. Now why this elaborate paraphernalia is mentioned? There are few examples which are given. Because the Kanishtha Adhikari or the initial stages of the conditioned soul, one cannot appreciate the power of Krishna. Though one cannot appreciate the power of Krishna, one can at least appreciate the power of money. One can at least appreciate the cost involved in worshipping the Lord with full opulence. So one cannot appreciate the three-formed bending form of the Lord, but one can certainly appreciate the cost of ghee and the cost of all the ornaments and the cost of all the bhoga. One can definitely appreciate that. And then when one sees that this personality who is there on the altar, he is enjoying day in and day out, and he is being served so opulently with such opulent paraphernalia 6 times a day, then the person thinks that this must not be an ordinary person. Something is very special about this person. So that because he is being worshipped with so much of opulence like that. So therefore, when the devotee starts seeing this gradually, that the Lord is being worshipped with lot of opulence, gradually the conditioned soul, the desire to enjoy our own selves, gradually that shifts and says that, okay, let me now enjoy along with the Lord, and then finally let only the Lord enjoy, and that itself is my happiness. So there are these stages which happen gradually. So once one life member was there, and he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, it is very difficult to see Krishna as a young cowherd boy. It's very difficult for us to accept that Lord Krishna is a cowherd boy and still appreciate that this cowherd boy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very difficult. And then he suggested to Srila Prabhupada, instead of worshipping the Radha Krishna form as a cowherd boy, why don't you install the Virat Rupa and worship that form? Because then something is Virat Rupa with some tongue out like that and then 10 heads. Then you think, oh wow, this is God. Something which is supernatural like that. God cannot be so simple, cowherd boy. He has to be somebody very complicated. So therefore he said, why don't you install Virat Rupa? So Srila Prabhupada said, okay, I will put Virat Rupa. But then, how will you dress Virat Rupa? Prabhupada said, to dress Virat Rupa, you will need an entire cloth mill. Entire textile mill is required to dress Virat Rupa. And Srila Prabhupada said, what will you offer to Virat Rupa? Because Virat Rupa, or the universal form of the Lord, he eats everything. He will eat you also. So what will you offer to the Virat Rupa? So therefore, you cannot offer, you cannot dress the deity, and you cannot have a loving exchange with somebody whose tongue is out and who is having 15 heads. You cannot have a loving exchange. You can only have for that person. So therefore, we need the Lord to appear in a form which is very sweet and gradually relieves us of our enjoying propensity. So therefore, the Lord is manifesting as a cowherd boy. Now this cowherd boy, people have great difficulty in accepting this simple. So, there's an interesting example I heard in a lecture. The example is that in Janmashtami, now many of you from India will be knowing Tirupati. Tirupati is a place where Lord Venkateshwara is worshipped as Sri Balaji, like that. Now, who is Sri Balaji? When you go to Tirupati, how do you worship? Anyone been to Tirupati? Of course, many of you would have. When you go there, what do you say? Yerumalayana Govinda, Govinda, we say, like that. Okay. So, we say Govinda, Govinda, we say, when we look at Lord Venkateshwara, the Lord of the Seven Hills, Tirumala, like that. So, what is this Govinda? Govinda means who is he? He's a cowherd boy. Govinda means protector and lover of the cows. So, at the end of the day, that Tirupati Balaji, that Venkateshwara is also Govinda, Krishna himself, as a cowherd boy. But, when we say that person is cowherd boy, no. I cannot appreciate. Cannot be simple cowherd boy and all. And he's Govinda, but still they will not accept. So, therefore, we have this mundane vision. We cannot accept that Govinda as a cowherd boy. But the moment we tell the devotee that Venkateshwara, that Tirupati Balaji who is on the altar, his Janmashtami dress is costing 8 crore rupees. 8 crore rupees is the cost of the Janmashtami dress which Lord Balaji wears. And how much is 8 crore devotees for people who are used to Australian dollars? 8 crore rupees, I did a conversion this morning at the exchange rate of 40. It comes to $2 million. That is the cost of Janmashtami dress of Lord Balaji. So, when we tell devotees this is cowherd boy, they will not accept. But when we say that the cost of the dress which this cowherd boy is wearing is $2 million, like, wow, he must be really somebody very special. Govinda, Govinda. And then, on top of that, if you say the hundi collection, the daily collection inside this hundi is 1 crore rupees, then they say, Lord Balaji, you are great. Because directly we cannot appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But through the opulence which is offered to the Lord, this person is very special. That is the characteristic of Kanishtha Adhikari. Whereas an Uttama Adhikari finds it very easy to accept Lord Krishna as a coward boy. Therefore, he doesn't need all this elaborate deity worship, you know, things to influence his devotional life. So, as a coward boy, we don't see the connection much. But when we see the Lord being worshipped with so much opulence, then our desire to enjoy separately is finished gradually. So, and secondly, there is another example. Even as devotees, sometimes we impose our own restrictions on the deities. Once, one of the temple presidents in ISKCON, it seems the people had a sugar problem there, diabetes problem. So therefore, they started offering to Lord Krishna without sugar or with very less sugar. Unfortunately, Srila Prabhupada visited at that time. And Srila Prabhupada said, what is this? Why are you not offering, you know, sugar to the Lord? He said, no, because of health reasons. So whose health? Our health. So in the same evening, Srila Prabhupada went and there was some home program or something like that. Srila Prabhupada was probably dining in the temple. And so Srila Prabhupada asked for puri. So along with puri, Srila Prabhupada asked for a whole bowl of sugar. And Srila Prabhupada took the puri, dipped it in sugar and started eating. And then he told the disciples, don't impose your restrictions on the deity. Because you have sugar problem, deity doesn't have a sugar problem. Okay. Lord Krishna doesn't suffer from disease and old age. So don't impose restrictions on him. Then the devotees asked, then what should we offer to Lord Krishna? What should be the standard of offering? So Srila Prabhupada said, the standard is anything and everything which a 25-year-old person, young man, can eat. That is what you should offer to Lord Krishna. So the idea is how I can make perfect arrangements for Lord Krishna to enjoy and gradually get my own propensity to think about myself when I worship the deities. That is the third importance of deity worship. To change our vision, develop reverential mood and focus on the deities. First reason is because Acharyas have said so. Second reason is causeless mercy on the Kanishtha Adhikari. Third reason is to develop reverential mood and to reduce our propensity to enjoy ourselves and channelize that towards the Lord. The fourth reason for deity worship is, people argue that if the Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan, that is our Yuga Dharma for this age, then why deity worship is required? Can I simply not chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra and not worship the deity at all? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Hare Ernam, Hare Ernam, Hare Ernam, Maiva Kevalam, Kalo Nashteva, 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 Gatiranata. That can be. So Srila Prabhupada gave three reasons why deity worship is important against this argument. Srila Prabhupada said, one is that the deity worship decreases or reduces the material contamination within our hearts. Number two, deity worship decreases or reduces the non-devotional tendencies within our heart. And number three, deity worship brings steadiness to our mind and therefore steadiness to our sadhana. Our mind wanders in 10 different directions when we chant. So by deity worship, the unbridled mind is now gradually brought under control. So Srila Prabhupada said that while Harinam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma and that is the primary process for the age of Kali Yuga, the process of deity worship is the auxiliary process. Right? The Mukhya and the Gauna. The Mukhya process is Harinam Sankirtan. So therefore Srila Prabhupada said that devotional life runs on two tracks. One is called as Pancharatri Ki Vidhi and one is called as Bhagavad Dharma. And yesterday in our Bhakti Vrishya class we were discussing this. Two. The railway train runs on two tracks, not on one track. So those two tracks are, one track is deity worship, which is called as Pancharatri Ki Vidhi. The other track is Bhagavad Dharma, which is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and remembering the Lord and His form. So these are two tracks. But still we have to remember that the more important track out of this is chanting of the holy names. But because chanting is very important and quality of chanting is very important and deity worship aids in the primary process, therefore the deity worship becomes important in that context. Otherwise in itself, deity worship was only relevant during Treta Yuga. So it's like the main course and the sweet along with that, which makes a complete meal like that. So that is the fourth reason that Pancharatri Ki Vidhi aids Bhakta Dharma. That is the fourth reason for deity worship. And the last reason, the fifth reason for deity worship is that the worship of deities protects us from fall down not in this lifetime, but also saves us in our future lifetimes. If we worship the deity in this lifetime, we are saved even in our future lifetimes. And there are two interesting passages from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 5th Canto, Chapter 12, Text 5, the pastime of Maharaj Bharat. Maharaj Bharat was the emperor of the whole universe. And he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He was on the Bhava platform. From the Bhava platform, just towards the very end of his life, he developed attachment to a deer. And because of that, he had to take another birth as a deer. But the verse is very interesting here. Though he took birth as a deer, there's an interesting verse. It says, Mam Smritir Mruga Deha Api Vrita. Sorry. Mam Smritir Mruga Deha Api Veera Krishna Archana Prabhava Anu Jahati. Which means that because Maharaj Bharat, in his early lifetime, as Maharaj Bharat, he used to worship the deities with great devotion. When he became a deer, at that time also, because of the influence of deity worship in his previous lifetimes, his mind was still very strong. And he remembered all his devotional activities, which he did in his previous life as Maharaj Bharat, even in the body of a deer. And that devotional life protected him even during this fall down. And in the next life, he became Jada Bharat and went back to Godhead. The second example, the power of deity worship in the next life also, that is given, that is of Gajendra Moksha. Gajendra the elephant, who was a crocodile. Now, if all of you know, Gajendra was none other than King Indradyumna. Okay? Because of some pastime, Lord King Indradyumna had to take the birth as Gajendra the elephant. So, Indradyumna Maharaj, King Indradyumna, he was protected. And the verse is very interesting here. This is from 8th Canto, 4th Chapter, Text 11 and 12. 8.4, 11 and 12. It is said, Hari Archana Anubhavena Yad Gajetva Api Anusmriti. The verse mentions this. So it says that Hari Archana Anubhavena, by the power of the worshipping the deity of Lord Hari, the Bhava which he developed, Yad Gajetva Api Anusmriti. So though he got the body of a Gaja, Gaja means elephant, though he got the body of a Gaja, there was Anusmriti. He could remember the Lord, even in the body of an elephant. And therefore, when he was in trouble, he called out to the Lord. And the Lord came and then saved him from the crocodile. So, Srila Prabhupada has mercifully given us all these wonderful temples where we can engage in this Archa Vigraha form of the Lord and actually experience its benefits. Now, one thing which is very important to understand here is that it is not that devotional deity worship is only for neophytes, because we have been talking quite a bit about third class devotee, neophyte devotee, etc. But deity worship is not only that it is meant for neophyte devotees. But actually an advanced devotee, when he comes into the temple and sees, then he actually does not see the deities. He actually sees Radha and Krishna. The deities are non-different from Radha and Krishna. But then advanced devotee is actually able to see Radha and Krishna. So, they are able to see subtle differences in the deities even when they see the deities day by day. Okay. So, when Srila Prabhupada visited one of the temples, immediately when he took possession of the deities, he said, the deities look very sick. And nobody realized that before Prabhupada came. And then he asked the temple president, there is definitely some problem. The deities are looking sick. And then the temple president then confided in Srila Prabhupada and told him that actually initially we were doing 6 offerings to the Lord. But because of financial problems, now we are only doing 4 offerings. And therefore Prabhupada was able to see the deities and say that deities are looking a little bit sick. And in another temple, Srila Prabhupada went, and the moment Srila Prabhupada saw the deities, Srila Prabhupada said, the deities look very tired. And then again when he went to the temple president confided, saying that actually the deity darshan was only up to 9:30 in the evening. But because lot of devotees wanted to come and take darshan, we have extended darshan of the Lord. So therefore the Lord is not able to take rest. And Srila Prabhupada, when he came inside, he saw this, immediately he could see that the deities were very tired. So this is the characteristic of an Uttama Adhikari. For an Uttama Adhikari, the deities is Krishna and Radharani, and he sees them as Krishna and Radharani, and he is able to see the Lord personally in the deity form. So, simply by seeing, Srila Prabhupada could make out this difference. He was the first Acharya to establish Radha Krishna worship, deity worship, all over the world, something which practically no Acharya has done before him. So Srila Prabhupada quoted another verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita to glorify devotees who are engaged in deity worship. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to glorify those devotees who are engaged in deity worship. So now Srila Prabhupada is not only talking about the benefit of deity worship, but he is glorifying the devotees who are engaged in deity worship. The verse is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Srila Prabhupada has given a purport. The verse is, Gaurangera Sangi Gane Nitya Siddha Kori Mane. Gaurangera Sangi Gane Nitya Siddha Kori Mane Se Jaya Vrajendra Sutapas. Se Jaya Vrajendra Sutapas. So, Srila Prabhupada is writing in the purport to this verse that it should not be thought that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, whoever those personalities who appeared with Lord Chaitanya at that time, they are only Nitya Siddhas. We should not think like that only those people are Nitya Siddhas. Nitya Siddha Kori Mane means that anyone who follows the rules and regulations, anyone who follows the rules and regulations as instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which means following the four regulative principles, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Anyone who follows these four regulative principles and chants the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and anyone who is chanting also worship the deities in the temple in a regulated way and preaches Krishna consciousness all over the world, even now such a person must be considered as a Nitya Siddha or an eternally liberated confidential associate of the Lord, and they should be respected as such. So this is the power of the devotees who are engaged in deity worship and Bhagavad Dharma. There is again an interesting pastime from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to conclude on devotees who sincerely practice this Archana Paddhati and the Bhagavad Dharma. Devotees, there is an interesting pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This pastime is again from the life of Maharaj Prataparudra. When Maharaj Prataparudra, he went and saw the Rath Yatra, and Lord Chaitanya and the devotees of Bengal, they were very nicely dancing in front of the Rath cart, and Maharaj Prataparudra was witnessing this. So Maharaj Prataparudra, when he saw the devotees of Bengal, he saw that something was different about the face in these devotees. The face was very effulgent. Many times we see many devotees who are doing very strict sadhana, we see that their faces gradually develop some kind of an effulgence, very bright. Earlier it was not like that, the face was different. And when others see, they say, your face is looking very bright, they may say like that, the devotee. So when Maharaj Prataparudra saw the effulgence of all the devotees of Bengal, he immediately commented to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The verse is, Koti Surya Sama Sava Ujwala Varan Kabhu Nahi Dekhi Aisi Madhur Kirtan. Koti Surya Sama Sabha Ujwal Varan. When I see the faces of these devotees, it is like Koti Surya Sama, the effulgence of millions and millions of suns. That is how the effulgent the face of a pure devotee is. Kabhu Nahi Dekhi Aisi Madhur Kirtan. Not only is their face very effulgent, but whatever they are singing, I have never heard such Madhur Kirtan. So Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, very interesting. Prabhupada writes, a devotee who actually practices all the angas of sadhana bhakti, all the limbs of sadhana bhakti properly, chants Hare Krishna, worships the deity, becomes highly purified. Not only does he become highly purified, but he becomes very powerful, such a devotee. And simply his darshan is very attractive for the common man. And simply his words, when such a devotee speaks words or gives a pravachan, those words are very effective. And when such a devotee performs service and kirtan, starts singing kirtan, such kirtan is heart transforming for the common man. Simply by following rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, a devotee can get such kind of potency. Therefore, the process of archana has been given to regulate us, and if we follow a regulated process of sadhana bhakti, one can become really potent. Further, Maharaj Prataparudra added another verse. He said, Aiche prema, aiche nritya, aiche hari dhvani, kaha nahi dekhi, aise kaha nahi suni. He said, such dancing, aise nitya, aise prem, such love, aise madhur kirtan, such kirtan, aise kahan nahi suni. Never I have heard any such kirtan before. Never I have seen anything like this before. So Srila Prabhupada writes again in his purport that Maharaj Prataprudra was who? King of Jagannath Puri. King. He was the king of Jagannath Puri. And being the king, Jagannath Puri actually was the center of all kirtan. All best kirtaniers used to come and do kirtan in Jagannath Puri. So Maharaj Prataprudra being the king, he has witnessed the best of kirtaniers in his life. But after seeing the devotees, he is saying, kahan nahi dekhi aise, kahan nahi suni. I have never seen this kind of kirtan. I have seen professional kirtaners come. I have heard such wonderful music, but never such kirtans. So Srila Prabhupada writes that devotees of Lord Chaitanya who do all these processes of Pancharatrika Viri and Bhagavad Dharma, they carry a special potency. And because they follow the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, they carry special mercy of the Lord. They have special potency which can even attract a person of the caliber of King of Orissa. So the King of Orissa was not attracted by any special preaching technique or anything like that. But simply he was attracted by the chanting of the holy names of Hare Krishna Mahamantra by the devotees of Bengal. So Prabhupada writes that if one follows the rules and regulations properly, follows the Archana Paddhati properly, such a person's chanting and Hari Kirtan can deliver the whole planet. That is the power of following Archana Paddhati. So, Srila Prabhupada gave few points about what should be our mood when we do deity worship. So, we have seen five reasons for it. By discussing the mood of deity worship as told by Srila Prabhupada. There are very important points which Srila Prabhupada said to keep in mind. The first principle, it's to be kept in mind that simply extended exposure to deity worship offers purification. So, we should have faith that if we do deity worship, there will be purification that will happen. And we should not impose our own aptitude on the deities. For example, many of us have more aptitude for giving class, or many of us have more aptitude for doing, you know, kitchen service. Okay. So when we are asked to do deity worship, you know, we run away from the temple commander. Oh, he is coming. He is going to... Initial stages, it's very nice. I heard in one class, I am personally not a Brahmin initiate devotee, but I heard in a class that sometimes devotees who are second initiated, they suffer from this problem, that when new they are second initiated, and when they go first in front of the deities, they are very excited and you feel that you are in the spiritual world. But gradually after a few years, we become very familiar with the deities. And then when we are approached for deity worship services, sometimes the mind tells that, you know, oh, it is very difficult now, I have to get up at 3:30 or 2:30 in the morning. So then for the mind starts not talking like this. So therefore, we have to understand that increased exposure to deity worship gives purification, and we should not, you know, impose our own aptitudes and preferences when we do deity worship. That is first principle. Second principle is, Srila Prabhupada gave us the standard that we should worship the deities in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Because once a devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I always like to worship Bal Gopal in the mood of small Krishna. Like that. So can I offer baby food to the Lord? So this was the question if they asked Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada said no. First of all, Srila Prabhupada asked the question, are you going to make it at home or are you going to purchase? He said no, I am going to purchase ready made baby food from the shop. Srila Prabhupada said no, you can't do all this. Srila Prabhupada said, whatever our bhava may be towards the Lord, till we come to the platform of pure devotion, we cannot say that we have developed a specific rasa towards the Lord, that I am Madhurya rasa devotee or I am Vatsalya rasa or whatever. Srila Prabhupada said, at this stage of conditioned life, we must worship the deities in the mood of awe and reverence only, in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. And therefore, because we are worshipping in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, our worship should be what the Lord demands from us. Because that is Dasya Bhava, like that. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada established this standard throughout ISKCON. That is second principle we should remember in deity worship. The third principle to remember, Srila Prabhupada gave, is do not use costly jewelry for the devotees. At that time, Srila Prabhupada gave this instruction because Srila Prabhupada said that still ISKCON does not have a very high security facility. So therefore, worship very elaborately, but don't make it so costly that, you know, we have a security problem in the temple. And then, you know, we have to have, our whole focus will be on security and not on the Lord after that. Because many temples suffer from this problem.
whole emphasis is on crowd control and security. And the devotional bhava goes away after that, after some time. So in Australia, when Srila Prabhupada visited, and I don't know whether this is temple, I just know that it was Australia. When Srila Prabhupada visited one of the Australian temples, the oldest devotee in the temple, the senior most devotee in the temple, was just a few months old in Krishna consciousness at that time. And Srila Prabhupada gave Brahmin initiation to that devotee. And then after giving Brahmin initiation, Srila Prabhupada came in front of the deities and told the deities, "Lord, please take care of yourself." So, why Srila Prabhupada said that the priests were not very experienced at that time. But Srila Prabhupada knew that by giving an opportunity to these priests for deity worship, gradually they will become purified. And when Srila Prabhupada returned after some time to same Australia and saw the temple, Srila Prabhupada was very happy. He was beaming. And Srila Prabhupada said that because the deities, and Srila Prabhupada said, actually the deities are looking very effulgent. He commented, the deities are looking very effulgent, and this is because the consciousness of the devotee who is worshipping the deity has improved by leaps and bounds. So Srila Prabhupada then emphasized that by contact with the deities, gradually the consciousness is transformed. And there is one interesting example of the mood towards the deities which one must have, this mood of reverence. To what extent a person can have a mood of reverence? This is about a lady who is a Vrajavasi, who is from Mathura. Now this lady was known to the devotees, and she had Gornithai deities in her house, and she used to worship these Gornithai deities. So one day, this lady, and the whole of all the devotees knew that this lady will never leave her Gornithai deities alone. She will, 24 hours she will be with her Gornithai deities. She was so attached to the deities. Okay. So one day, one Prabhu, his name is Gurudas Prabhu, he met her in a train which was going from Mathura to somewhere else, some other location. So when he met her in the train, immediately he asked, "Arey Mataji, you are here. What happened to your deities?" And this Mataji was in the corridor somewhere. So through the vestibule, this Mataji took the devotee, Gurudas Prabhu, to the first class compartment of the train. And in the first class compartment of the train, if you know the Indian trains, the first compartment has got a separate room. And when you open the two doors like this, she had put a curtain. And there behind the curtain, she had booked an entire berth, and Gornithai deities are there. And if you see the name, in India, outside the train, the name is put, the reservation chart, the names are put. There it is put, seat number 24, Gornithai. She had booked an entire berth for her Gornithai deities. So this is the example of how much a person should worship the Lord in the reverential mood and not take the deities for granted, just because we see them day in and day out. So this is the third principle. The fourth principle, Srila Prabhupada said, that familiarity should not breed contempt. And the fifth principle, Srila Prabhupada said, the basis of our class today, Srila Prabhupada said, it's very important to constantly hear lectures on deity worship. Because in Kali Yuga, manda sumanda mataya, manda bhagya hi upadrutaha. Whatever we hear yesterday, we have forgotten next day. I don't know whether at least I can't remember what Narasimha Kavach Prabhu gave in yesterday. So that is our memory. So therefore, because memory is short in Kali Yuga, we must attend Srimad Bhagavatam class regularly and keep hearing this message about deity worship. And that way we will never make seva apradas against the deity. So therefore, in this verse, if you see, the Lord says, in the previously mentioned places of worship, according to the processes I have described, one should meditate on my peaceful transcendental form with four arms. Therefore, here worship should be in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, a four-armed deity, holding a conch shell, Sudarshan disc, and one should worship me with fixed attention. This theme. Sorry, I went overboard as usual. Any questions or comments? Yes.
How deity worship reduces the contamination?
So, as we discussed, the fact that the contamination comes basically because of the conditioned soul's tendency to enjoy everything for oneself. So when the Kanishta Adhikari, when the conditioned soul sees the deities being offered, being worshipped very opulently, then we develop a reverential attitude towards the deity. And gradually by seeing the Lord being worshipped so opulently, our tendency to worship ourselves gradually fades away with
And then the mood is that, okay, let me also engage in this worship. Because naturally, Srila Prabhupada says that the soul is Krishna conscious by default. Srila Prabhupada says in Science of Self-Realization that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. By the nature of the soul is that the soul is a devotee. It's because of the three modes of material nature that we have forgotten that we are devotees of the Lord. So, by worshipping the deities, gradually that layer of contamination is removed. And therefore, we realize our own swarupa, that we are eternal servant of the Lord.
Deities are attractive to have a confidence about this, what you call this, Kanishta devotee, Madhyama devotee and Uttama devotee.
Yeah.
Face-wise, there will be a change.
Yes.
Of the devotee.
Yes.
So it is an attraction of the deity.
Yes.
To offer his changes.
Yes.
By his love and affection.
Yes.
Towards the deity.
Yes.
Is it a samskara only for him or her?
Is it?
Samskara.
Yeah. What is the question? I'm not able to understand.
The deity is attractive.
The deities are attractive, yes.
The third class are the Kanishta Adhikari,
yes.
Madhyama Adhikari,
yes.
Uttama Adhikari.
Yes.
There will be a change.
There will be a change, yes.
Because of the attraction of the deity,
yes.
This change occurs,
yes.
As an individual.
Yes.
This is samskara, what you call it?
Yeah.
Samskara.
Yeah.
Is a role for that changes.
Yes. Yes. That's what the whole theme is about. That yes, gradually by the process of deity worship, all our samskaras. In my understanding, the meaning of samskaras is conditioning. Previous samskaras which we have, the conditioning gradually goes away. Which is what I was saying. The conditioning is manifested by the three modes of material nature. So we are in mode of ignorance, or we act in mode of passion, or we act in mode of goodness. These are called as samskaras, which are coverings over the mind, over the pure soul, mind, intelligence and false ego. So by the process of deity worship, these coverings gradually go away. So these samskaras go away. And then we realize our own siddha deha, our own spiritual identity and relationship with
God. Covered by a smoke.
Pardon? Exactly, the fire is covered by smoke. Very nice example. That's from the Bhagavad Gita. Yes. Yeah. Me too. Any other questions or comments? Tantrakshima Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Shila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Kai Gaur Priman.
Jai.